here. Matthew 24.
Go to Matthew 24.
Brother Gabe asked me what I was preaching on tonight, and I said I'm preaching on the end of the world. And he laughed, a joyful laughter, like, great. Only a believer can do that. Only a believer, one who loves the Lord, truly looks forward to the end of the world, because the end of the world is His coming, is Christ's coming. The sun is shining today. Sky's blue. Beautiful day, isn't it? Good day to talk about the end of the world. Our Lord said, at a time when you think not, at a time when you think not, He shall come. Look at verses 1 through 3 with me. Matthew 24. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And then they left, and He began to walk up to the Mount of Olives. In verse 3, as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, no more multitude around Him, and saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? After telling His disciples, after gently rebuking them for being so impressed with the buildings of the temple and all these temporal things, He said, see ye not all these things? Don't you see these things for what they are? Temporal. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. We're told to set our affection on things above, things not seen. But He gently rebuked them, and after telling them that there would not be one stone left standing on another, that all would be thrown down, nothing left standing, then He says no more, and He walks off. And He begins to walk up that mountain and sat on the Mount of Olives, where He was wont to resort so often with His disciples. And they began to think, they were thinking about it on the way up there. And they came to Him privately. And I imagine they were a little concerned. He just told them that the world was coming to an end. And that's all He said. And they're not knowing anything else, when or what. And they came to Him privately and said, would you tell us? And He began to tell them. He began to tell them these things. The end of the world is not a thing to be feared. The Lord was always allaying His disciples' fears, was He not? Always. He was constantly telling them, fear not, was He? Like us, they were afraid of so many things. All that they saw and all that they heard around them and all that was taking place in that violent world. Perilous times they lived in. They were afraid, and the Lord was constantly allaying their fears, wasn't He? Telling them, fear not. Be not afraid. One time, they were in a ship, remember, and the ship was tossed everywhere, and the Lord came walking to them on the water, and they were afraid, and it says they thought they saw a spirit, didn't they? They thought they saw a spirit, a ghost. That's what, you know, mariners are prone to do, aren't they, when they're out to sea for a long time. I thought they saw a ghost. And He said, it is I. Be not afraid. And when He got in the boat, He said, why do thoughts arise in your heart? Why are you always thinking the worst? Anybody? We always think the worst, don't we? Oh, no. He said, it is I. Whatever it is I. Isn't that what Eli said? It is the Lord, whatever it may be. That's the only thing that will allay our fears, isn't it? Of the unknown, nothing is unknown to him because he's the first cause of all things. But the return of our Lord and the end of the world is not a thing to be feared or dreaded for those who know the Lord. Those who look, Paul wrote, of those who love his appearing. But it's a thing to be desired. It's those who wait for him and love his appearing. When he appears, there's not going to be a moment's fear or trepidation. There's not going to be a moment's heart. Their heart's going to fail them, but not God's people. There's going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory when he comes. Like the bride waiting on the bridegroom. You ladies, do you remember waiting on your day, your wedding day? Were you dreading it? Don't be honest. Don't be too honest. But no, seriously, if you loved that man, you couldn't wait, could you? And you were counting the days until that time, weren't you? You were marking them off. Well, this is the bridegroom, and the call's going to come. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and the bride is not going to fear him coming. They're looking forward to his coming. It's not a thing to be feared at all for those who love him. It's a wedding day. I love these girls so much, and I know they love us, and they look forward to our coming. They love our appearing, and every time they hear that we're coming, they're waiting on us in the yard. Today, they were both waiting out in front of the yard for us to come, and when they saw us coming, they began to wave. They're here. When Christ comes, for those who love his appearing, it's going to be that way for them. And someone might say, we don't need to try to scare our kids about the end of the world. Well, are you kidding? All they hear today, all they see today, even the little video games and things they play, apocalyptic things that they look at and see all around them. Isn't this just the place to talk about the end of the world? Isn't this the place that they should hear about this from the mouth of our Lord himself and see what he says about it? Because if he puts his fear in their hearts, they need not fear anyone or anything from then on, do they? Look at Isaiah 8 with me, Isaiah chapter 8. If the Lord puts his fear in us, we need not fear anyone or anything. The Lord rebuked Isaiah for this. Who art thou that you should be afraid of a man and not afraid of me? More afraid of men than me. That's unbelief, isn't it? Isaiah 8, look at this. Verse 11. Well, all through here they take counsel together. He said, it'll come to naught. Verse 11. He spake to me with a strong hand. Did your dad ever lay his hand on you and say, listen, son, oh, just listen to me. The Lord laid his hand, instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying to me, say not a confederacy. Don't join up with them. All them whom this people say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let it be established in your heart. May this be truly, may settle you. The Lord that we preach, that we believe, is apart from, different than the Jesus they preach today, the God being preached today. He's the Lord of hosts. He really is Lord. He's not a figurehead. He's the absolute sovereign Lord of everyone and everything. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And if he is, he'll be a sanctuary and a stone of stumbling for some. But he's a sanctuary. The very one you fear is the one you run to in your fears. So we don't want to scare our children. No. But we need to hear what our Lord says about this. And he says much. All right, go back to the text. He says much about this. We just started looking at this together in Rocky Mount, Matthew 24 and chapter 25. There's many parables about the end of the world. Many talk about it, don't they? Many people like to talk about it that really don't believe it's going to happen. Their secret thought, David said, is that they shall live forever. Many talk about it. Movies are made about it. Books are written about it. Seminars, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, so-called, like to talk about it, and they get many big crowds. If we had announced today, or been announcing all week, that we're going to preach tonight on the end of the world, we would have had to rent the Renaissance Center, wouldn't we? No doubt about it. No doubt about it. That's what people are interested in. In fact, like sermon audio, you're on sermon audio, we are too. That if you put a catchy title to your message, you put a catchy title, you'll get more downloads that way. So I purpose to try not to do that. But if you announce anything that has to do with the last days, the end of the world, you'll get a lot of people looking at that. Recently we preached on Christ is all. Now that's the gospel. That's all our hope. That's salvation in three words. Anybody that really is interested in salvation, those three words are precious to them. Christ is all. Did we get many downloads? Not interested. People are more interested in the end times prophecy than they are in Christ who's coming. They're more interested in the signs of Christ coming than the Christ who's coming. Most even don't know why he came the first time. They're not interested. But they're sure interested in the signs and times and the prophecy. When what Christ did when he came here, why he came the first time, is his glory. And that's the theme of the song of all of God's people throughout eternity. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Christ and him crucified. That's why he came the first time. He came to put away the sins of his people. That's his glory. His glory was that he left the Father's throne to come to this place to put away the sins of his people, to be made sin for them. That's his chief glory. And very few people except his people are interested in that, are they? People and the scripture said they'll look on him whom they pierced and wail because of him. But we shall look on him whom we have pierced with great hope and joy, won't we? Now, this was to his disciples. They came to him privately. This was to his disciples. And they asked him privately. If you want a private hearing from the Lord, he'll talk to you. If you want to hear from him, he'll speak to you. And this is for us who love his appearing. And there's so much in this chapter, but the Lord doesn't say anything for information. In fact, he doesn't give any dates. He doesn't give any real particular times. He does say something about Daniel. Go back and read that about Daniel, about the number of weeks and so forth. But the Lord does not give any times, does he? Any days. In fact, he said one time, it's not for you to know. He said, no man knoweth the day or the hour, didn't he? So the moment that any man stands up and tells everyone that Christ is coming at such and such a date, mark him off immediately as a false prophet. He's calling Christ a liar. Not long ago, there was a nationwide campaign put out by Family Radio in California that Christ was coming May something. This was 4 or 5 years ago. Did you see those signs? May something or other. 2007 or whatever. Well, you know immediately that's false, isn't it? Our Lord said, no man knows the hour. He doesn't give any particular. He doesn't give dates or times and all that. What the Lord is saying to his disciples and saying to us, he's saying, number one, to warn them about all these false prophets. He gives many warnings about all these false prophets. And secondly, to comfort his people in knowing that whatever comes to pass, you're going to hear wars and rumors of war. No matter what comes to pass, be not troubled. Don't be troubled. Didn't he say to them one time, he said, all things are delivered me unto me of the Father. Be not troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe also in man. He's given all things into my hand. Be of good cheer, he said. I've overcome the world. The world's under my feet. The world's in my hands. I'm controlling this world. So he says these things in this chapter to warn us as a safeguard. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, he says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Can a man stand up and say Jesus is the Christ and be a false prophet? That's what he just said, didn't it? Isn't that what he just said? He sure can. They said, is Saul among the prophets? Is Saul prophesying? Balaam, have you read Balaam, what he wrote? Judas? Nobody suspected Judas did. They went out by twos. Another disciple went with Judas. They didn't suspect a thing. He was preaching doctrine right now, not lying. Or else they'd have gone to the Lord and said, Lord, you can't believe what he said. Is it possible? Of course it is. Our Lord said, many shall say. Mandy and I were in a motel room going somewhere. And she was getting ready in the bathroom. And I was flipping through the TV and it said, Billy Graham Crusades. Classics. And I began to watch one of them back in 1958, I believe it was. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I said, Mindy, come in here. You've got to hear this. And it was an incredible one. We couldn't believe it. Right down the line. I'm telling you, it was right down the line. Of course, in the end, he left it up to man, didn't he? In the end. Why is that? How can that be? How can a man stand up and tell the truth and he be false? To make everyone accountable for that truth. Paul said, have they not all heard? Yes, verily. The sound's gone everywhere. To make everyone accountable, even the man who said it. He said to Pilate one time, Pilate said, art thou the Christ? He said, you said it. The word just came out of your mouth. No mouth condemned. What is truth? You're looking at. Many, he said, in verse 24, many. And so a man's doctrine can be right down the line. There's a man we know well. Verse 24, there shall arise false Christs. False prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they'll deceive the very elect. That's pretty close, isn't it? Aren't you glad it's not possible? Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. A stranger's voice they won't find. And he's warning us, verse 25, I've told you before. So he warns us as a safeguard against a false prophet. And I've had people say this to me many times. Well, he says some good things. Yeah, even Balaam could do that. But Christ, our Lord said of the false prophets in Jeremiah 23, he said, they'll not profit this people at all. Not at all. And he tells us these things for our comfort. Whatever it is he. Whatever comes to pass, he reigns over all. All things are under his sovereign direction and his purpose. All right, look at every line. Every line is significant. Verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. How prophetic is that? Listen to me now. Jesus, the man, departed from that earthly physical temple. The first time he went in that temple, what did he do? Platted a whip and cleaned it out. Condemned it. What was going on there? He said, there's a den of thieves. And he platted a whip and cleaned it out. The next time he came and he's preaching there and he went out and he departed and he will never return there again. That's the last time he'll ever be seen in that temple. And he told them, this place is coming down. There's not going to be one stone left standing on another. But one stone will be left standing when it's all over. The headstone, the top stone, the stone which the builders has rejected. And he said, you tear down this temple, and I'll raise it again in 3 days. But this physical temple, this temporal temple, everything is coming down, and there's going to be one stone left standing, that rock, which is Christ Jesus. The only one. And there's not going to be another temple built. Everybody's waiting for that, aren't they? They're waiting on the Dome of the Rock, you know, that to be torn down. And everybody's waiting for that. When our Lord plainly said, the kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation. He said, if they say, here he is, there, don't listen to them. He said, the kingdom of heaven is spiritual. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And if you'll notice, if you read this, there's not one mention. The Lord does not mention one time some cataclysmic battle to end all battles. That they're all going to gather in a valley over there, and they're all going to fight. And according to the religion today and most people, that's the battle to end all battle. People, I'm here to tell you, the battle that ended all battles took place at Calvary. That's when the kings of this earth and the rulers of this world and Satan and principalities and powers gathered together to make war on the Lamb. And Chris, the Lamb slew them all. The Lamb defeated them all. Comfort ye, my people. There's not going to be a battle. Don't worry about that. Don't fear their fear. Tell them the warfare is accomplished. Their iniquity is pardoned. They made war with the Lamb, and he overcame them by his own blood. And Satan is under his feet. Don't fear their fear. Did not he plainly say, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight? Who's going to be fighting over there? What are they fighting about? Piece of land? We're looking for another piece of land, aren't we? Not going to be a temple. Who's the temple of God? You are. Joshua of old, when Moses left the tabernacle of old, Moses left the tabernacle and came out. It says Joshua stayed there. He stood right there. He never left. And our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, never leaves his true temple. He left this one and never going back. He's going to tear it down and never going to build another one. And people are looking for him to go and sit on a throne in the temple and them to sacrifice it. He offered one sacrifice forever. And there's not going to be any more sacrifice. Don't need to. No temple going to be built. The Lord has been building his temple, and it's a spiritual one, and you're it. And we labor together with him, though. Spiritual temple. His people in whom he never leaves. He left this temple. Jesus, the man, left this temple. They saw a man walk out of this building and leave this temple. And they saw a man hanging on that cross. And that's who people are looking to come back to. Jesus, the man. But oh, are men and women in for a rude awakening. And oh, are his people in for a glorious, joyous experience. There's a sign on a so-called church down the road from us that says, Jesus is coming back. On both sides of the sign. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. No, he's not. The Lord Jesus is coming back. Jesus, the man. And this is what Paul, or Hebrew, whoever wrote Hebrew, said, we see Jesus. He made him a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. A man. God became a man. Why? For the suffering of death. To live according to the law. The second Adam from above came to establish a perfect righteousness for his people as a man. A man has glorified God. But we see him, the next time we see him, he's going to be crowned with glory and honor. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess at the name of Jesus. They're going to call him Lord. Yes, we see him. We saw a man named Jesus. It's like Joseph of old. When his brethren put him in a pit with no water, and then the Midianites came and took him away, the last time they saw him was in a pit, a 17-year-old boy. The next time they see him, they're trembling in their boots, sitting on a throne. They're in his hands. And he makes them to realize who he is. They begin to fear him. He first talks rough to them, doesn't he? Through an interpreter, mind you. And they begin to fear him. and they begin to mourn over their sin. It says, it's because we rejected our brother. That's right. And God at the point of the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he hath ordained. This Jesus, Peter preached at Pentecost, you have taken with wicked hands and crucified. But God set him on the throne and made him Lord. And everybody said, oh, what are we going to do? Here's it. Repent and be baptized. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him for mercy. He's merciful. And he'll have mercy on you. Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming in power and glory and judgment. He's not coming to build anything. He's coming to destroy everything. He came the first time to do the building. He came the first time to do the saving. Coming the second time to end all of this and take his people home. His disciples were still ignorant, weren't they? Verse 2, they were impressed with those buildings. They were impressed with those buildings. Imagine this, them showing the Lord who made the heavens and the earth those buildings. Said, look, would you look at this? Look how high this temple is. He who set the stars in the sky and the sun and the moon and the star. He who put Mount Everest on its foundation. Look at that temple, Lord. He that sits in the heavens laughs. And he says to them and he says to us, and do you not get aggravated at yourself sometimes by being taken up with these things, vanity? And what he said here was, see ye not all these things? Don't you see these things for what they are? How could you be impressed with these things? Isn't that us? Isn't that us? Every one of us. How do you act when some famous person is in the room or some star or whatever? How do you act? Be honest. These people are nothings and nobodies. They're nothing. See ye not all these things? Vanity of vanity. See ye not all these people? Should we not be more impressed with what the Lord has done? We take for granted the most glorious things in the universe. The sun comes up every day. The heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day others speak. The sun comes up. Without which we could not live. The sun, the glorious sun, which is a picture of Christ, who the Son of righteousness with healing in his wing. Yet we take that for granted. That's a pretty sunset, isn't it? Well, did you look at that car? Aren't we foolish? The mountains, the trees clap their hands. Didn't he say in Isaiah 1, an ox knows his owner, an ass his master's crib, but my people don't know. They don't consider the Creator. Very few people even believe that God created this world. Certainly don't believe Jesus Christ did. Oh, we do, don't we? We do. Clouds are the dust of his feet. The trees clap their hands to their Creator. The birds are singing his Lord. Well, we say, look at that. Look at them. See you not all these things. Not one stone will be left standing upon another. Nothing shall last. Everything shall be shaken, he said. And only that which cannot be shaken shall stand. So he went up the Mount of Olives. And let's just look through here real briefly. And I'll quit. Tell us when these things shall be. And the Lord said, take heed, no man shall deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. I shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Wars and rumors of war. Everyone's worried about terrorism, aren't they? Terrorism. I'll tell you a true story. David, who is a type of Christ. Christ is called the son of David, is he not? Nearly every story of David is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. One time David came back to the town he was living in, Ziklag. And the Amalekites had taken his wives and all that he owned captive. And David went after them. And they were all, the Amalekites had David's wives and his children and all these things that belonged to David. And they were having a big old party and they were drinking and making merry and all that, not knowing that David's looking down on them. He's come to get his wives back. And these people don't know it. At any rate, it says that David recovered all. He smote all the Amalekites and took all of his wives and all of his children and everything that they... He didn't lose one thing. David recovered it all. And it says the only ones that escaped of all of those people, that those Amalekites, were 400 young men on camels. And somebody said, we need to go get those fellows. 400 men on camels? You going to worry about 400 men on camels? You worried about the Islamic State? 400 men on camels? Seriously. Seriously. I kill, the Lord said. I make alive. I create peace. I make evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I am the Lord. That is my name. Don't fear their fear. You trust me. You need not fear anything. Disciples had no fear as long as they were with the Lord. They did great exploit. Be not troubled. He said constantly, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. All these things must come to pass. But the end's not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. These are the beginning of sorrow. Now listen to this. He tells them, verse 9, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. But one other time he said that not a hair of your head shall fall to the ground. It's not going to happen unless I say so. And every single, I've been reading about the Scottish Covenanters who were burned at the stake and had their heads cut off and their hands cut off and all these things, all these martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and reading about them going to the death, and you won't find one of them afraid. You'll find them all preaching the gospel as they went. Why? The Lord was with them. Why? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because His grace is sufficient. His people, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to die for your Lord? I've denied Him enough, like Peter. Wouldn't you love to finally? And they all did, and the Lord was with them. We've been very protected, very sheltered in this country. And up until a few hundred years ago, all of our brethren previously to us, a great cloud of witnesses, laid down their lives. Read Hebrews 12, 11. Don't fear. He said, be not afraid. Be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. It is I. I own this world, Christ said. That's what He's saying. You don't need to fear anything but me. Read on. He said, many will be offended and shall betray one another, hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, but they won't deceive you. And iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. And last time, perilous. Why is Paul called the last day such perilous time? Why are they called perilous time? 2 Timothy 3. He didn't mention one single act of violence in that chapter. Not one. Perilous time. When he talked about perilous time, he didn't mention one single act of violence. What he did say was, men shall be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Heady, high-minded, proud, boasters, unthankful, truth-breakers, incontinent, fierce, yeah. But no acts of violence yet. Why are these perilous times? As in the days of Noah. Eating and drinking, buying and selling, building, and so forth. Nothing to worry about. And they say, peace and safety, our Lord, then shall sudden destruction come on. And they knew not till the flood took them away. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot. But we need not fear. Iniquity shall abound without natural affection. The love of many shall wax cold. But he, here it is. Here's our closing verses 13 and 14. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What is that? That means you keep on keeping on. You pray through. Oh, no, no, no. It is he that holds the steadfast to the end, his confidence. When you came, when you heard the gospel, when the Lord revealed himself to you, revealed the gospel of Christ and him crucified to you, how did you come? You came as a sinner, helpless, hopeless, guilty, vile, helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. And you heard this gospel, and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from everything. Saved. Need not be. Let us hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end, for he is faithful. He that endures, that is, here is what overcomes the world, is our faith in Christ. Looking to him, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, now he's going to pronounce the end. When you hear and see this gospel of the kingdom preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. And that's the summary of it all. That's it. No particulars. And he starts, Brother Dwight, he starts from there and goes over it again. He just repeats himself. But he said, when you see this gospel preached all over the world, know that the end has come. It's here. Now, do you not see the signs of the time? Do we not see? We're not in darkness even as others. He's at the door. When has the gospel been preached in every nation until now? This little church, our little flock, is heard in nations all over the world, aren't they? And our Lord said that. When you hear this, know he's near. Then the end shall come. But it's not a thing to be dreaded. Thing to be looked forward to. But that's when he's coming. And we read there in 2 Thessalonians 2, comfort one another with these words. And he said, brethren, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead shall rise and will be changed into his likeness, and Christ shall come, will meet the Lord in the air, and he'll bring everybody with him, and comfort one another with these words. Lord, when's it? Look what's happening. Fear not. Fear not. Okay. May the Lord bless that.